first people on the earth were black people. Because anthropologists, white anthropologists.
So the white people go, that could be true, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Leakey and them found people remains 5 million years ago in Africa. You know them motherfuckers didn't speak French. So black people, we the first people had thought. Right? We the first one to say, where the fuck am I? And how do you get to Detroit?
This is Recorded Podcast. Here with another edition, another day, another podcast. I'm here with a comedian extraordinaire. Somebody you're going to know very soon if you don't know already. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, this your boy Darryl Dam, man. You know, comedian Darryl Dam, that is, man. If I ain't Mr. Funny for real, Mr. Million Dollar Comedian, man, if I ain't funny, you can slap shit out of me.
All right. So, just like everybody else, where are you from? Where did you grow up at?
I'm from Atlanta, man. Straight. I ain't no Grady baby, but I've been here for 30 years now.
30 years. So how is it growing up in Atlanta?
Oh, man, definitely has changed. Like, I've been here long enough to remember when 85 was three lanes on each side. Well, no, two lanes on each side. You feel me? I remember when 20 was one lane on each side. Like, I'm from that part of Atlanta. But growing up in Atlanta, I'm saying it's the beauty of it is, like, if you want to stay out of trouble, you can. If you want to get in trouble, you can. You know what I mean? Whatever you're trying to do in Atlanta, you can do it. You know what I mean? You just got to understand its repercussions and, you know, it's a poor decision making in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think, like, Outkast is, like, prime example of that. They didn't want to be, like, they knew people that was doing street shit.
Right.
But they wasn't really trying to be on that. They could rap about the things around them, but they was on music. Like, that was their whole focus.
That's what you gotta have down. You, in Atlanta, you gotta have something to focus on, because if you don't, this shit will suck you in, man, for real. It's like, I mean, we got so many beautiful women, you feel me? It's so many drugs. It's so many, you feel me? It's so much music and shit pushing the drugs to try to get people to do them. So, you know, it's definitely it's an avenue for everything here in Atlanta. You know what I mean? If you want to be a good guy, you can be a good guy. If you don't, but once you get caught in that drug life, it's over with. And it'll never stop because you're going to be chasing that shit forever, trying to pay bills, and then you're going to prison.
Yeah. And what I love most about Atlanta, and I've been here for like 12 years now, is that the blackness of Atlanta. It's like no other. Like, I was born in New York, then I was raised in California, lived different places, but Atlanta's like to and through black. It's like one of the few places I see, you know, I said before in a podcast, like a driveway with a landscaping company, a driveway with an electrical company, big houses, black people.
Yeah.
Big out. They ain't just, you know, politicians and nothing like that. They got it out the mud.
Atlanta probably got the most rich and, you know, well-off black people in the country. You feel me? Like, because, like I said, like, whatever you want to do in Atlanta, there's enough people to make it pop. You know what I mean? Like, I was just watching a Revolt Summit with Biff Killer Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how he did the airports. That was just dope to me, and that just, like, affirmed, you feel me, how black this city is, man, to the point where, you know, black people making decisions here, man. You know, it's some white undertone, but those white people is cool with black people, and that's all we give a shit about.
Yeah. So Atlanta, I mean, it's just all the way just great. So you being a comedian, how was it growing up? Did you develop jokes? Because school is fucking cruel. Like, that's where, like, you either going to get made or broke, or you going to get broke and then you going to become great.
Right.
Like, how was it for you cracking jokes and everything on the playground?
Believe it or not, like, I'm going to go back to when I first came to Atlanta in 89. When I got to the school, like, you know, my mom, I'm a real confident dude because of how my mom raised me and my brother. So I didn't really deal with bullying. You know, it was joking. What, you know how some comedians say, well, shit, I had to joke my way through high school. That's how I kept people from fucking with me and blah. I never had that problem. Like, I was the popular dude, you feel me? Like, I could play basketball. I could play every sport really bad. Basketball, baseball, football, wrestling. I did all of them. So I had a level of, you know, like, clout in school, if you will. So by the time I was 11, I used to dye my hair. I used to dye my hair honey blonde. And people started calling me Sinbad. You feel me? Because my hair was blonde, I was a light-skinned dude, kind of fat. You feel me? So everybody started calling me Sinbad. But, you know, I never thought nothing of it. I just like, okay, they think I look like Sinbad. But as I got older, like, the comedy part of me kind of became front and center. Like, I always been fun, I always been silly. But by the time I was about 14, 15, that's when I started to realize that I could get a reaction from being funny. So in school, shit, I like, while everybody else in class, I asked my teacher, can I go to the bathroom or something? And then, you know, I know where my friend class at. So I'm going to run by his class and slide on my chest and scream, whoa! And hear the whole class laugh, jump up and take off running. Like, you know, it never was really hard, because, like, I was slick a bully in the sixth grade, you feel me? And then when you get to junior high school, it's, you know, everybody too big. You can't really be a bully because the big people don't like bullies. You feel me? They find out you're a bully, they're going to fuck you up every day. They're going to mess with you every day. So, you know, I had to kind of chill out with that. And I used to suck my thumb, so can't really be a bully sucking your thumb. But doing comedy, like, just, you know, I've always been a funny dude. Like, I one thing I will say, I've always been able to walk up to any group of people, no matter where I'm at, and I can make somebody in that group laugh, if not all of them. So, you know, just really a gift, man, and I'm just trying to harness until I can display it to the world.
And it really is a gift to be able to get people to laugh, like, because that's a really, really hard thing. Like, comedians have, like, the hardest job. Man, like,
you got to take into consideration, we have fell in love with something that more than 90% of the planet is scared to do, which is public speaking. You feel me? That's number two on the list for man's greatest fear. The other one is like skydiving or some shit.
Yeah.
But for the most part, people do not want to stand up in front of people and talk to them. And that's just talking. Like, people don't want to stand up in front of people and say, hey, how you doing? My name is Tupac. I'm not dead. I'll be back in February. They don't want to do that, you feel me? But we took it to a point where we're like, okay, I'm in front of these people, I'm going to make them laugh. And not only am I going to make them laugh, I don't have no help to make them laugh. You feel me? All I got is this microphone, this stage, and this light. That's all I got to make them laugh. And if I stop talking, I'm going to lose them. They may boo me, they may start talking, and not the show is shit. So it's definitely a craft. It's definitely not easy, you feel me? It's, like I said, it's one of those most feared things to do amongst humans.
Yeah, and then you have to have, like, supreme confidence. But you already said you have confidence. Yeah. And then what you state in that, it's like the number one and number two. What are your thoughts on, like, comedians being really, really smart? Because it seems like most comedians are naturally smart people. Mm. Maybe they didn't take a school route, but just far as picking up, like, I read a paper, I look at articles, nowadays clips, YouTube. Do you feel like being around comedians and even yourself, like, that is true about
being smart? Because, like, you got to be smart, you feel me? Because, like, we've mastered the art of doing something that many people can't do, and that's talk. That's, like, this is what a comedian does on stage. Talks, assess how the jokes are being received, determine what will be the best next joke, loaded in their brain, you feel me? Under the timing structure of setup, premise, punchline, you're doing it all under this timing setup, and then going to another joke, and we doing all of this while we're talking. Like, that's not easy. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I'm probably nothing like you think. Like, whatever you think of me, I'm probably the polar opposite. Like, people look at me, they think I'm a hood nigga, I'm be out in the streets, all that shit. I don't hang in the streets. I don't hang out. You feel me? If I do go to the club, it's because a celebrity asked me to. I don't just, you feel me? Like, I done taught myself the law. I done taught myself constitution. I done taught myself case law. I done taught myself about religion. And, you know, I've taught myself so many things that have made me a weapon, because like I'm one of those guys where I believe in the art of war. You feel me? And I know we at war right now, whether it's obvious or not, we at war. So in my mind, the art of war is to understand your enemy. You feel me? You can't just attack him if you don't know what his capabilities are. You feel me? So me, I stepped back and was like, okay, black people getting killed, nobody going to jail, we marched for 3 days, and then it's done being talked about. What can I do personally to help in whatever way? Because see, like, the reason I taught myself the law and the reason that I still dress like a hood nigga is a part of a plan and a scope. It's like, okay, if I look like this with this education, this will help people in the community, because now the police will be like, okay, the last nigga we fucked with that dressed like that, that nigga knew something. I wonder if this nigga, nah, this nigga might know something, I'm gonna leave him alone. That's why I do what I do. Like, I know the law, like, I got a lawsuit in the making for Rockdale County, you feel me? Like, and it's not even no serious shit, it's just some violation of the Constitution stuff. Like, I never had a driver's license, right? In the Constitution, it says you don't need a driver's license. Then there's case law that back up that. You feel me? Like, in the Constitution, it says the rights of the citizen to travel upon the highways with their goods, be it horse and carriage or automobile, is not a mere privilege, but it's a right. You feel me? Like, we have the right to travel. Then Murdoch versus Pennsylvania says no state can take a right, turn into a privilege, issue a license and a fee for it, and if they do, Birmingham v. U.S. says that the citizen can ignore the license and engage in the right with impunity.
Alright, now you are blowing my mind with that. Like, that literally is like comedian, like, so if anybody ever thought, like, oh, well, maybe that's a saying, obviously he's proven right here. Right. They're really, really smart, like, on another level. Because I would imagine you have to be smart that, like, let me look around, let me look at this crowd. You look like you, if I said one joke, maybe you didn't like that, maybe I should switch it. They're literally doing all of this to be successful.
But believe it or not, when we on stage, well, the good comedians, you feel me? I like to consider myself one of the good comedians.
Definitely.
I don't focus on one person unless the majority is not laughing. If the majority is laughing, like if it's 80 people and I got 70 of them laughing, I can care less about the 10 who not. Now, if I only got 10 laughing and it's 80 people, it's like, okay, what can I say to get the 70 to laugh with these 10? You feel me? So it's like, it's just, you know, but I'm at the point in my career where I know how to make people laugh. Like, it's a difference between being funny and knowing how to make people laugh. Like, people don't get, like, people actually downplay comedians and be like, ah, man, oh, you still doing your little comedy shit? It's like, nigga, whatever you're doing, I could be trained to do. And I probably could do it better than you. I guarantee you $100 to a bucket of shit, you couldn't do what I do on your best fucking day.
And what you're saying is very, very true, because for me, like, I think I'm funny, and I'm like, oh, well, I can make a lot of people laugh. I'm always the funny guy, class count, all that. But going to Uptown, the old Uptown by the strip club, I went there and watched a writer for a very big show bomb.
Amen.
You know, and it's just like, and then, you know, the other comedian came on, and I like that, you know, a good comedian seemed like they defend the other ones because they know. That shit is hard. Right. That shit is really hard. Yeah. So it's a difference between, like, writing. Like, it's like battle rappers. They can't really become rappers sometimes because they only know battle style. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't translate to a Drake level of a song. It only translates to a few hood niggas and maybe a few girls that like that style of rap.
Right.
But far as making it big, and one, Hot Sauce, Skip to My Lou. Skip to My Lou made it to the NBA, but he was one of the lowest levels of the NBA because that cool shit is totally different from they the big
what,
shit.
What got Skip in was the fact that he could take instruction. You feel me? Like, he wasn't one of those dudes that had to do all the dribble shit that he was capable of doing. You feel me? He could be put in a system of basketball and know how to at least play his role. You feel me? So that's what kind of gave him his break. But with comedy, it's like, man, don't nobody really, like, we make it look so easy. Like me, I don't even write. You feel me? I may write down a topic or write down something that was funny that just happened, but I'm not writing it down and keeping it and knowing where it's at. I just wrote it down so that my eyes can see it, and once my eyes see it, my brain get it, and now it's just in the pot. You feel me? It's in the pot of ideas. And when I get on stage, if I'm in the mood to tell jokes, I'll tell my jokes. But a lot of times, I just be in the mood to get up there and have fun. And when I'm up there having fun, these jokes just pop out in conversation. Like, somebody might say something or do something or have the right outfit on that's like, okay, bam, this is where I'm going to bring this joke out. But I'm not going to stop and be like, okay, that's what I need. I'm still talking, making people laugh, but I done seen this motherfucker like, okay, boom, hell yeah, that's how I'm going to roll right into that joke. Yeah, yeah, dude, I ain't dead. I know who shot me, but let me tell you about the time I ate a cat. Don't you look like a cat, bitch? This bitch look like a cat, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what you, like, that's not no easy shit, but, like, we do it effortlessly, man. Because, like, I've been doing this shit 18 years, man.
Man, it's just like, and I really like what you said about, like, the Nipsey Hussle. Like, well, what you said about how you look, but compared to your brain, because... Mm-hmm. I'm a huge Nipsey Hussle fan. Same birthday, I got to meet him in January outside of his store. It was like literally the craziest shit in the world. I told you on the last podcast I had, if you listen back, with Rita Harper, and it just is like, he knew that. He knew what you were saying. He knew, let me bang the hood, let me do certain things, but also give you so much game. Because yes, I am proud of my neighborhood and what it gave to me. And that's what I say about different gangbangers too. Like, who am I to tell somebody, you know, you shouldn't be with them, you shouldn't do that, if they gave you food when you didn't have nothing? Right. If they fought for you, if they were your father, if your parents or grandmother, whoever, wasn't doing well, they strung out on drugs, they abusing you, who am I to say, like, oh, you shouldn't be with them?
Right.
Niggas is going to the wall for, like, anybody that looked out for them, like, in a rough, rough time. So I'm never, ever, ever going to bash somebody like, yo, you shouldn't gangbang. And that's what Nipsey Hussle, he really knew. He said, how can I, like, get my people to figure it out?
Like, when it comes to Nipsey Hussle, it's really, in my personal opinion, and I done traveled all over the country. I done been everywhere. You name it, I done probably been there. But it's only two real gang cultures in America. Everybody else just wannabes. You feel me? Everybody else just trying to imitate. Mm-hmm. Chicago, L.A. Them the only two gang cultures where you can literally be born wearing Crip colors. You feel me? Like, you could be born and your dad might bring a big ass Crip flag to wrap you up in. Exactly. You feel me?
Exactly.
So it's a culture. Everybody else just trying to follow what seems cool. You feel me? Like, I used to gangbang. You feel me? But now, because of my mindset and my study of the art of war, it's like, now I pay attention to things that fuck 5-7 years ago I wouldn't pay attention to. You feel me? Like,
yeah.
Unconsciously, I can tell if a person is left or right handed. I can, and this is just for, you know, fighting and combat reasons. Like, I can tell, I can, just from the way you walk, the way your arms swing, I can tell if you're right or left handed. I unconsciously pay attention to whether you walk on your toes or on the flats of your feet, because people walk on their toes are ready to come forward. People on their flats.
Somebody walking usually weird with a gun on them.
Right.
They got a little bot to them, or they ultra confident. Because it's like, they know I'm ready to
they
set this
bitch. They swagged out. They like,
yeah, I'm ready to set this bitch off at any minute. Like,
it ain't worth it, because then when they get to prison, they get a husband.
Exactly. And that's what I try to teach my nephews. We went to a Polo G concert.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, before he come on, make sure you know where all the exits is at. Because if we got to break out, we're going. Yeah, and ain't nobody going to have time. Like, hey, run over here. I'm trying to teach
it was them. Like that, where you felt like it might go down?
No, but I'm just always like
that.
Being born in New York, and my dad raised me like that. Like, hey, you got to, like, you never know. But
you got to be on 10 at all times.
Even Walmart nowadays.
Yeah, man.
You got to fucking look around in Walmart. Like, you literally have to be on guard.
No, anytime I see white people. Anytime I see white people 40 and younger.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying that as a joke. White people 40 and younger, when I see them walk into anywhere that I'm at, I look at their hands first. I don't get. Once I realize they're white, I look at their hands, see what's in their hands, if they got a book bag in that thing, in that type of shit. Because I'm one of the type of dudes that I run over and grab and put him in a chokehold if his gun not out yet.
Yeah.
Now if it's out, I'm gonna be like, whoa, we got a gun. And I'm out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's like that now, and you know, you just gotta let people know, like the younger people that they don't know, I said, like when we in the car, make sure you give yourself enough space that you could break out. Don't be all up on the bumper, you know, mm-hmm. and make sure your doors is locked. Make sure you playing the mirrors. Make sure you looking around. And it shouldn't have to be like that, but shit could go down. And you don't want it to be you. You really don't. And I love, you know, I love them. They my family, so I'm trying to teach them. They grew up well, and I thank God they didn't grow up like all. They grew up spoiled. So it's like, shit, let me give them game, because they are the perfect, like, I forgot what they call them, but the perfect person to get got. But they call it something in prison. I think Vic or whatever, victim. They like the perfect because they don't know.
Right,
you pull it. Yeah, I was raised like, if you got money, if you got a $100 bill, put the $1 bill on the top of the fold. So if anybody watching them pockets, they thinking this dude got like $3. Bro, you might have $300, $400, $1,000 on you, but they look, man, this dude ain't got no bread. You know, I mean, but it's just like certain things that. You just gotta.
It's just growing up, man. As a black person, man, like I tell women all the time, like women who be gaga googling their kids, man. I be like, hey, listen, man, it's cool to do that shit from birth to three, but after three, you have to at least start trying to plant seeds in this motherfucker to be a black man in America.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's dropping them game. Like I be dropping my kids game. Like I tell, like. They mom is into the religious thing. I don't believe in God, the devil, heaven, hell, Muhammad, Moses, Abraham. I don't believe in none of that shit. Because I know it's all fake. So I tell them that, hey, if you want to believe, if your mom convinced you to believe in it, whatever. But believe in yourself first. Know that ain't shit going to happen until you make it happen. Whether it's good or bad. You going to have to be the one. You can sit around waiting on shit to come out of the sky and waiting on shit to happen. Yeah, you're going to be 65 when the shit happen, and you're going to be too old to fight. You feel me? Like me, I'm at the point, I'm like, I've been planting seeds about running their own business, and you know, since they was knee high to a grass, 4 or 5 years old, hey, nah, we running businesses around here. We ain't trying to get no job. And the only way you go into college is if you fucking get a free ride. I'm not paying for that shit. You're not paying for that shit, because that shit does nothing for you. Because if we're going to keep it a buck, you really don't use shit after about the 4th grade. You feel me? You ain't never used pre-algebra.
In certain countries, they stop at 9th grade.
That's what I'm
saying.
They
almost at the 4th grade level. They stop at 9th grade.
Exactly, because they know all the rest of that shit is just a hustle. You feel me? Because it comes a point in your life where no matter what you've been learning, what you've been taught, it comes a point in your life where you're going to be looking for something that makes you happy to do it. You feel me? And once that happens, then that's when doors open. Like, see, me and my, like, my mom never really forced us to go to church. You feel me? And that's what a lot of women do. Like, if you go to the church, it's majority women and the kids that they make come. You feel me? And when you make the kids come, they're, like, without knowing it, they're being indoctrinated. You feel me? To believe in some shit that can't be proven. Like, no matter what. Like, I get into it with religious people all the time. You cannot prove that shit. No matter what, at some point in this story, you're going to have to either make up some shit or just say, I don't know. And I respect the ones who say, man, I don't know. That's a good-ass question. You feel me? But then some people are like, no, because the Lord knows exactly. I'm like, because, well, the Lord knows everything. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. Why the fuck would he create something to rival? Like, if you knew you was all-powerful, you had all the power, you knew everything, would you create somebody who would be as strong as you, potentially, when it comes to your chosen people? Come on, man. Like, black people don't ask questions. Like, me, I'm a question motherfucker. And that's something that my uncle taught me. My uncle always told me, hey, the only dumb question is the one you didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So, if I got a question, I'm going to ask that shit, man. And, you know, it rubs people the wrong way sometimes, but hey.
And, I mean, people listening, they might rub them the wrong way, but for me, it broke down for me. I used to be into like religion really, really heavy in the church and things like that. But what it is, as you get older and you learn and different things, is that sometimes you maybe become spiritual and you think of certain things. But a comedian, Andrew Schultz, Andrew Schultz, because I always want to give people their credit. I never want to steal from nobody. He said, what it is religion. They all teaching basically the same thing.
Ain't no basic.
It's peace and love. Like,
wait. Not just that. If you get into these stories, like if you get into Buddha, you get into Catholicism, you get into the Tanakh, the Quran, the Bible, all of them have a savior who had 12 partners. The savior was born on Christmas. He died and rose again. All the same story. All, every single religion. All this shit came from white people, man. It's like, for black people, it's like, how can you accept something that was forced on you? And you know it was forced on you. Yeah. And you trying to ignore the fact that it was forced on you and say, it wasn't forced on me. Nigga, it was forced on you. No, it wasn't forced on me. I chose. I'm like, okay, so where did these stories even come from if you chose them?
Yeah.
Like, wasn't no fucking books on no goddamn slave ships, man.
And it's just, and then
like when people, I don't mean to cut you off, but like when like black people not even understanding, like the first slave ship was the great ship Jesus. That's the first slave ship was Jesus. So what black people don't know is that when they start hearing other slaves talking about Jesus coming back, they wanted them to come back and get them. You feel me? That's why they waiting in the water. Because they waiting on the fucking ship to come back. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking about nobody coming out the sky. They're like, man, we want the great ship Jesus to come back so we can go home. That's all they wanted. They weren't thinking about nothing else.
And that's what he said. Like I said, I consider myself more spiritual. Because it's like, I mean, I choose to like say that, hey, it must be God that created these things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what God really is. Like, I'm just like,
we created this shit.
I'm like, it must be. But for me, what the dude Andrew Schultz was saying that is like, a lot of people come from broken systems and they need something to believe in.
Right.
That's why even when, you know,
that's what they did to the slave.
12 Years a Slave, mm-hmm. the movie, it was like, teach them these parts mm-hmm. in the Bible mm-hmm. that they supposed to obey because mm-hmm. it's in this book and you know who read this book and different things like that. But he was saying that that's why they need that. Certain people from broken situations need that. And he said, I choose not to really believe in these things. Andrew Schultz, but he was like,
we from broken
situations. Yeah, but they need that, like with all these different, like when the man go to jail. Well, I'm at rock bottom now. Well, let me change my life and find religion. And I mean, it helps, and I respect with anybody.
Dude. Right. It's if like, it make you treat people nice, if it make you want to treat your kids nice and your neighbors, and want make you want to be a good person, by all means, do it.
But then,
but if you're going to come to me with,
you're
going to have a little more than, hey, you just got to believe. No, nigga, I want to know where Jesus at.
And I'm glad you said that, too, because we also got to learn how to disagree without getting all mad.
Right.
Like, if me and you walk out of here today, and I'm a staunch believer, I should still have my beliefs, and you should still have yours, exactly. But we, and what you brought up, you keep bringing up stuff that is relevant to what I'm even thinking, too, with the Revolt Summit. Killer Mike wasn't bashing Candace Owens. He's teaching, and he's all, like, and he knows what he's doing. Like, you say how you dress, he knows. We are really in some fucked up times.
Oh, nigga, listen, man, I'm with, like he said, when he talked to Dick Gregory, like, I done met Dick Gregory before, too. Nigga, Dick Gregory was probably the angriest nigga in America, bro. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even exaggerating. I'm talking about, like, I don't know if you heard him telling the story about when him and Tip was with Dick Gregory. And Dick Gregory, he was like, man, he cussed us out for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
He said, so, Dick, what should we do? Should we march? March? What the fuck are you going to march for? We marched 50 years ago. He was like, so how can we get everything together? You can't, nigga. It's over with.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, like, real shit, this shit open. Like, because I'm still living, I try to keep hope. But when I still see 10,000 people in a mega church, in multiple mega churches, you feel me? I know this shit ain't, like, when I still hear people saying that, like, me, what I believe in, I can, you feel me? I can prove it to you. Like, I believe the black woman is the God of this planet. You feel me? And the sun is the Most High. If you want me to explain, I can explain. The sun, if that bitch go out, everything on this planet dies. You can read a book till you're blue in the face. Everything on this planet will die. That's the sustainer of life on this planet. The black woman is the ushering of the people for the planet. Everybody came through a black woman. You feel me? Like, she's the oldest creature on the planet outside of the things that have evolved and like lost hair, got smaller, long necks. Besides those things, she was around. She's been around for years. Like that's why they have. That's why our women have big legs and big asses. That's muscle memory from how long they've been walking on this planet. Mm-hmm. You feel me? So, like, the things that I hold reverence to, I'm gonna be able to look at and I'm gonna be able to tell you why. You feel me? Like, I know that if you take the black woman and break her down molecularly, you can make everything on this planet out of it. Every living thing, from the bear, dog, frog, cat, dog, beetle, bug, butterfly, whatever the fuck you could think of, it's a piece of that life in her.
And that's what I was saying about Killer Mike. He made it so, like, we have to stop. As black people first and people in general, if you don't agree with somebody, y'all should be able to talk about it and go your separate ways.
Man, you know what black people
gotta be need violent, to do? Nothing.
We need to do what the Jewish people do. You feel me? What the Spanish people do. What the Italian people do. You feel me? All these people, inside their culture, they have monetary, you feel me, it's a monetary gain, and it's only because they're diligent enough to pay $125 every month, you feel me, to the culture, $125, all 15, 20 million of them, $125 every month, so in the event that somebody is in need, we got it.
And then, but we have such a broken system from slavery.
As long as you, yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, but it wasn't our choice.
From slavery, that if Daryl is doing something wrong, I need to tell Master, and so we could break it apart. Right. And then I'm gonna be looked at as good. And then the chains are gone, but are they gone?
No, they on your brain now. They on your brain now. Like you can't even rap like. Our people can't even wrap our minds around what we've been taught and told not being the truth. It's like you were taught and told this shit by people who didn't even think you was human. You feel me? And still...
Livestock.
Dog.
Literally livestock.
Literal chattel. Like, nigga, we're selling... Nigga, you are the equivalent to a horse.
On a ship, a few of them gonna die, we gonna write them off. Nigga, literally livestock.
What they're not going to tell you is some of them die, but a lot of them motherfuckers was jumping off. They were like, nigga, we'd rather be dead than to be in bondage and fucking somebody's slave.
They always talk about give me liberty or give me death, but they never talk about that
anymore. Right. Oh, yeah, they can't.
They never talk about that.
Because they know, like, see, all this stuff is like, it's perfect. You feel me? It's perfect for manipulation. Mm. You feel me? Because the manipulation... It's coming, like, see, when I was a kid, and probably the reason why I'm able to, you know, disseminate and discern from different things is because when I was a kid, we didn't have the mental attack of the world all day, every day. At some point, we weren't around the TV. We was outside playing football, basketball, baseball, wrestling. We were doing something outside that disconnected us from the TV. Mm-hmm. Now... You got TV, iPad, smartphone, iPhone, every day, all day. You are trying, you feel me? You in that mug, you being affected by what? Like, whatever you're going through, you look and see people in Jamaica living their best life, but you don't know that they just sucked the fat, hairy cracker dick to get that.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, like, We just gotta change our way of thinking, man. And I don't see it happen no time soon, man. Like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be alive to see
it. It's
that.
Like, and that's what I'm trying to do. That's why, you know, I don't know, I feel a connection. When I just meet certain people and then it happens, it all comes together, whether you believe the universe, right, whether you believe it's God, whatever, it comes together. In this conversation, because I had no idea we was gonna go here, but mm-hmm. I know comedians are smart. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey. And the smart thing to do, too, is, like, disagree with your brother.
Right.
Get punched in the face sometimes. Like, hey, disagreeing. You know what I'm saying?
Disagreements are healthy.
But it's just, like, we have to stop that. Because it's not enough of us to be disagreeing to the point where I'm not going to talk to you forever. I'm not going to deal with you no more. Right. It need to be like, hey, Daryl, you believe that. I believe that. But I love you as a brother. I love you as a human being, but I'm going to believe my belief, right. You know, and then
I'm not the type of person who would ever try to force my mindset on anybody. Like I was talking to D.L. Hughley, and I was watching his podcast like for about two three months, like faithfully every day. And you know, he would be talking about the things that I talk about, and you know, talking about the things that I was learning. And when he was talking to these people, they wouldn't get mad. You feel me? But the people I would talk to about the same topics, they would get mad, and it would turn contentious. You feel me? It turned into like,
because you're not in. That's.
But what he told me, he was like, Darryl, he was like, you're not gonna change none of these motherfuckers. You gotta understand that this shit has been put in them for the last 500 years, every day for the last two. You feel me? Like every day on some level, they hitting you with the agenda, the politics. You know what I mean? The policies. So that's all day. So he was like, what you just gonna have to do is worry about your kids, teach your kids, and in the event that you get a chance to talk to people and talk to other people, just plant seeds. You feel me? Say some shit that just make them think. Don't try to tell them what it is. Just say some shit that make them think. They'll be like,
hit them. And comedy does that a lot of time. Like, it's like they say tears of a clown. Mm-hmm. They say laugh from my pain. A lot of comedians are broken. Man. They're hurt, and you know, they
use comedy. Like, man, I lost my mom last year on Father's Day. You feel me? Like I still do. Like I literally cry every night.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, and people want to care, but they don't know how to care. You feel me? Like, you can't tell somebody who lost the one person that they've seen their entire life, you can't tell them to try to move forward. First thing I say is, hey, look, before we start this conversation, do you have your mom? Yeah, my mom's not. Okay, well, listen, this conversation is going to go nowhere, because you're going to be talking to me from a standpoint of somebody who has a mom. You're not feeling what I'm feeling. You feel me? Like, you don't, like, I had to take my girl to the hospital. You feel me? I had to take my girl to the hospital, and motherfucking, she got them, like, when I was in that motherfucker, when they wanted to take her in the room, I couldn't even go in the room. You feel me?
Because it's so traumatic.
That shit started, like, all that shit started hitting me, and I was like, let me go out. I went out and sat in the fucking truck. And when she came out, nigga, I was waking up. Like, nigga, I can't, that shit, like, fucked me up.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. And I don't even know what to say, because some people don't like when you say, I'm sorry. Some people don't like when you say, rest in peace.
Yeah.
But I think the best way for me, I had, like, an awakening in me, probably, like, a month ago. I got real pissed off at my job, and I was doing insanity. Like, insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a difference. So I'm going to the same job, I'm getting mad at the same things, and I keep repeating the cycle. I'll get over it and repeat this cycle. When you reach that point where you don't really give a fuck, and you know that you're gonna make it no matter what, I really start going hard on this podcast, and like, I've been getting yeses to people like, oh shit, and I already know this right here is great. Yeah. From the conversations we have already.
Because your tongue is very, very powerful, especially in this realm of life. You feel me? Like, that's what people don't understand. Like, all you gotta do is say it. You say it and believe it, it's gonna happen. Like, I would put you on the phone with my girl right now. Nigga, my girl used to worry like a motherfucker. Worry. Oh, we need this for the bills. We need that for the bills. This, that, the third. We need this. I got her to the point where I'm like, listen, I don't worry about shit like that. Like, I know the universe is gonna provide. All the universe is asking me to do is move. That's all I gotta do.
And I really think it's that motion, because when I really went for it, man, I got this computer on credit. I said, I really need to invest in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. My wife got good credit.
Right.
Hey, babe, I need to get this computer.
Right.
Go to Apple Store, get the computer.
You move towards
certain things, and you never know what'll happen. And it's just
gonna snowball. Yeah. Because it's like, if you got positive energy, that's magnetic. It's gonna draw people to you. You feel me? Because in a world of so much negative and trying to make light out of negativity and desensitizing us, like, it's gonna be a point where you're gonna be able to see a motherfucker get their face blew off right in front of you, and you just gonna be like, oh shit,
yeah,
nigga just got shot.
It's, even when a lot of these rappers come from the hood, right?
Right.
And a dude will run up on him and put their phone like, yo, with my boy. Like, yo, you gotta relax. Cause if I blow your head off, it's like, I'm wrong, but I'm like, now I'm a celebrity. I can't think like that no more. People don't really understand that. And it's just like, we really have to change everything. You really have to get to a point to where your happiness. I went to a lecture with Cam Kirk, photographer, and he said, yeah, my happiness is the number one thing. And tunnel vision and those things really, really stuck out to me is that you have to get to a point you could lose everything around you, but if you're happy with your woman or your family or whatever, what the fuck is material? What is material, like, as long as you
anything happy? That you can replace, man, is not, like, because you can't replace family. And, like, yeah, and that's dope. That's good that you said something about the entertainment business. It's like, it's hard for me to meet not just women, people. You feel me? Because I'm like one of them real private motherfuckers, you feel me? Like, I don't like people in my business, you feel me? Because I know that everybody don't have your best interest at heart, you feel me? A lot of people just want to come in to see what they can find out. And like I was just telling my other little homegirl, I was telling her, she trying to tell me, nah, my mom good people, nah, my best friend good people. I'm like, listen, they good people because you know them. I don't know them. And I know for a fact that if somebody offered them $250,000 to give them some information about me, exactly, they gonna take the fucking $250,000, nigga. Damn. You can say, no, they wouldn't do it. Listen, man, have you ever seen these motherfuckers in a $250,000 deal situation?
Do people understand that it's real killers that rat these codes of the street? Come on, who are you to a killer that will blow your head off if he's snitching?
Exactly.
Who, it's a lot of, like, people, it's this.
And I'm saying $250,000 when I know that that takes $17,000.
Exactly.
And give me every, and tell them everything, especially if they got it in, nigga. Man. You give a nigga 2,000 ones and 15,000 in 100. Don't tell you what everyone know.
I mean, it's just, it's so important that everybody, because a lot of people working these jobs, doing whatever, and they so worried. Your happiness is key. If that shit ain't making you happy, whether you in a relationship, whether you whatever, if that shit ain't make, like, people were like, well, I can't leave this person because, like, bro, if they bring you down, if anything bring you down,
it's your job.
And even down to parents, as hard as that could be, some parents know they can fuck with you and get over on you, and they will use you to the point to where they know they can hurt you. They know they got you. They living in your house. They ain't paying no bills. Mm-hmm. They arguing about who you bring in your own house. Mm-hmm. You like, damn, I know you raised me, but goddamn, like, this is my shit.
Me, I'm not one of those kids. You feel me? Like, my mom, that was my best friend.
Yeah.
You feel me? But she knew when I was adamant about her staying out of this one. Like, because I'd be lying if I said my mom didn't live with me and one of my girlfriends before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we get into it, she'll come chime in and say her little piece. And I have to, hey, mom, hey, listen, I'm 30 years old. Go over there. I don't want to hear nothing you talking about.
Exactly.
Go. And, you know, she got to the point where she was like, yeah, well, I guess he is 30. You know,
it's that right mental strain, though, that, like, we all, in order for us to be better, we gotta stop being insane. We're doing the same shit over and over and over, expecting another result. So if somebody really in your life and they love you, when you disagree with them or you tell them, like, hey, don't do that, that's not cool, they may be mad at first, but hey, they'll get over it.
See, like me, I'm sensitive, you feel me? Like, and I tell women that all the time. Like, I'm sensitive, not like a punk, but sensitive, like, I might snap and you won't think it's that serious. You feel me? It's like, I might be eating some wings with fries. I tell you, I don't really fuck with fries, so you feel like it's cool for you to grab, reach in my plate and eat a fry. I might not have an issue with you eating a fry, but what you don't know is, I was paying attention 2 hours ago when you dug in your nose in the car and you ain't been in the house to wash your hands yet, and you just touched my chicken. Now I'm about to take all this shit and throw it out the goddamn window.
Man, hand sanitation. On another note, I could do a whole podcast. My wife has really got me into it. Mm. I feel like I wash my hands. And one thing, I worked in the hospital before. That's, I'm like, they're going to tell us some magical thing about not getting sick. The number one thing is to wash your hands.
That's it. Your hand touch your face all the time.
You touch the doorknob, you touch like, nobody knows who was here, what they were doing.
You don't know if they dug in their naked ass.
Man, none of that. So
now you got pink eye.
So comedy, we really went off into a great conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we did it. Mm-hmm. But comedy, how did you find comedy and want to get into it?
Actually, how I started doing comedy, I never really had a thought about being, even though people called me Sinbad, it was never like in the forefront. It was never even a part of my mind. Like, I always watched comedy. Like, I remember watching Def Jam. I remember watching, you know,
comedy.
Different, yeah, shit. Damon Wayans special, Chris Rock special,
Martin Lawrence
specials. Like, I've been watching comedy, but as to say that it was something that I had inspired to do would be a lie. It just came from the fact that, like I said, I've always been able to make people laugh. And I used to be a hood, you know, I used to be a hood nigga in the streets, selling dope, you know, weed, whatever. So I would hang around. It would be a lot of people doing the same thing. This is back in the late 90s, 96, 97, 98.
Statue of limitations.
Right. No, I'm saying this is just the time. This is just the time. And everybody's selling drugs, so we all hang together. I'm always making everybody laugh. And we was all just standing around talking, and on the radio, they was talking about Ryan Cameron had a comedy night. And like I just told you, I've always been able to make people laugh. And I'm not talking about like just, oh, he's silly. No, like, motherfuckers be dying, crying, laughing because of some shit I just said or did. So we all just hanging around and shit, and Ryan Cameron had a comedy show at 112 back then. And all my partners were like, D, you gotta do that shit, bro. You gotta do that shit. Nigga, we'll pay whatever it costs to get you on stage, nigga, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So I'm like, man, I ain't doing that shit. They're like, D, bro, you gotta do this shit, man. So they pump me up. We go up there. I'm too young. You feel me? I'm 19. They're like, I was like, I'll be 20 in October. They're like, okay, well, if you be 20 in October, if you come back the next October, you'll be 21. Then you can get in. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I meet some other comedians. They were like, oh, shit, you trying to do comedy? I was like, yeah, man, but they saying I'm too young. And there was a comedian named Ernesto Ross. He was like, hey, man, I know a spot where they let you get on. I'm like, where? So he told me about a club named Dudley's on Candler Road. It's called something else now. It's right next to Chit Chat. You know, if you know where Chit Chat is, right next to Chit Chat. So I went over there for probably about 4 or 5 months. Like, I was going every Wednesday. And then as I started getting my confidence on stage, you know, other comedians were like, man, you need to take that shit to Uptown, man. Like, you ready for an Uptown stage.
That's the big one here.
Yeah, so I got them. This was when Uptown was on Peachtree Street behind Houston's. I used to go to that one. I used to be, once I found out about that, I was there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Like, back when I first started, it was a comedy show every night of the week, at least 2 or 3. Like, on Monday, we'd do 2-3 shows, Tuesday, 2-3 shows, Wednesday, 2-3 shows, Thursday, 2-3 shows. Wanted to do Uptown, like, because, see, Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday was another open mic night. But Friday and Saturday, that's when the dopest crowds used to be in that motherfucker. That's when the working people, you wanted some of that. And like, nigga, I remember Sco Bubble, that was my guy, man, rest his soul. He was like, nah, Daryl, you too nasty, man. These people don't want to hear what you about to say. So, and then I started dialing it down. Like, okay, you know what I mean? Because I used to be, shit, the raunchiest, nigga. That, all I used to talk about was sex, nigga. Sex, 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 hey, nigga. Horses running blood, why not fucking blood? Like, that type of shit. Exactly. Right, so, you know, just, you know, comedy kind of just, it wasn't something that I pursued, you feel me? It just became my pursuit, you feel me? It's not like I was like, man, I want to be a comedian. It was just like these niggas put me in a position almost the same way. Like, I'm a great swimmer. Almost the same way I became a swimmer. Like, my homeboys was watching me swim like a fish in the 3 and 4 or 5 feet. They're like, man, Sinbad, you can swim, man. I'm like, nah, I ain't going in 8 feet. So I fucked around and walked about 8 feet on some trying to go to the other side of the gate or some shit, and the nigga just ran and pushed me in. As soon as I went in, as soon as I got in the water, instinct was just swim. I'm under the water, and I'm like, damn, I can swim. Kind of the same way with comedy, man. I just, you know, I knew how to do it well. Like, I always made people laugh. I'm talking about, I'm not even bullshitting, 12, 13, making full adults laugh. Like, hard laugh, tears, crying laugh. So, you know what I mean? It just was something that just was, it was in me, but I was around people who pushed me to get on the platform to be a comedian. And once I got up there, man, I was bit, man. I was bit by the fucking bug, man. I've been on drugs ever since, man. I'm drugs and comedy.
And now bombing is a big thing. That's everybody's fear and why they don't get up there. Mm-hmm. Now, can you talk about a time where you bombed? What it taught you, and like, how do you learn from that? Now, what does it feel like?
Bombing is like.
Bombing is when people don't laugh.
Right.
For when people just don't think you're funny.
Right. It's genuinely only happened to me two times. Because the saying in the comedy world is if you find a comedian that say he never did had a bad set and never bombed, I'll show you a liar. You feel me? So every comedian has had a bad set or a bad, you know, stage performance or whatever. But the two times that it happened to me, I was in New York. You feel me? So, and this was what, 2002, 2003. So I'm 22. I'm stupid hood, nigga. You feel me? Like, I'm super hood. I'm, nigga. So when I'm going to New York, in my mind, I'm like, nigga, I'm about to be the countryest nigga in New York. So when I get on stage, I'm like, shit, what's up, goddamn? Hey, man, this your boy, Darren Dan, man. We in this motherfucker, man. Y'all ready to goddamn get your laugh on? Niggas are like.
And this was 2002, before the music in Atlanta.
Exactly. I'm like, them niggas looking. I actually heard somebody say, yo, son, I didn't know they was going to have retarded niggas in here, son. Yeah. Like, yo, this nigga's retarded. Yeah. I'm telling them niggas didn't laugh at all. And then the second time it happened, I was performing for a crowd of West Indians. You feel me? I'm thinking West Indians.
They are like hard,
bruh,
to get to laugh,
nigga. And it's not even that they was hard to get to laugh, because I seen them laughing, so I thought I was gonna be able to do it. But it's already a language barrier for them and New Yorkers. You feel me? Now a nigga from the South that they ain't never heard talk. They don't even come to the South. They come to this motherfucking nigga, they trying to get to New York because they know they got a big population there. So they don't even know shit about the South. So when I start talking, they like, why men on why? Men on why they fucking talk more? Men on kind of ear, why they sing? Me ear about all that shit. You feel me? So it's like, nigga, that. But then was the only two times. But see, the good thing about doing comedy in Atlanta, and I tell comedians this shit all over the country, the reason we have so many good comedians in Atlanta is because we practice, like when we just do open mics, we practice in front of the country every night. And I mean the whole country, because when we do shows, nobody at these shows are from Atlanta. If you ask them who from Atlanta, maybe three motherfuckers. Everybody else from New York, New Jersey, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Alabama, North Carolina, you know, everybody from everywhere else. So that's what we get to practice in front of. Like, I might go somewhere and a comedian that do okay here, when I get to the net, to the state that they just left, they're like, hey, nigga, do you know a nigga named George Jackson? Be like, yeah, what about him? Like, man, he's funny than a motherfucker.
And you know, that's a great point. I talked about also in the last podcast, I had another Atlanta native that it's like, I was at the One Music Fest and they like, everybody, like 10,000, however many people there. Everybody from Atlanta makes some noise. If you're from somewhere else, everybody is just like,
if you're from Atlanta, make some noise.
And it's sad to me because it's so rich in culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful that they open the doors. I mean, they didn't really have a choice, but they open the doors to like outsiders. But it's sad that, you know, it's like, this was an Atlanta thing, and then now it's an everybody thing, and it's like it's cool
because that's just the culture of Atlantans. You feel me? Like whether it's entertainment, whether it's music, whether it's comedy, whether it's movies, in Atlanta, we genuinely will help each other if we can. You feel me? What we're not gonna do is fuck up our money to make sure you make some money.
Mm-hmm.
But in the event that we can help you get in a better position, we're gonna do it. Like in New York. They don't do that, nigga. In New York, nigga, is one motherfucker want to be the best rapper. He want to be the nigga at the top. You feel me? Anybody else under him, you feel me? He ignore him. He don't really help him. They might ask for some help, and he won't even help him. In Atlanta, like, for rappers, you might be in the studio doing your own shit. Like, if you had fucking What? Any of these fucking studios where the celebrities be, like T.I. Studio, J.D., any of them studios? Like, I'm trying to think of what the fuck the name, the studio that,
Tree Sounds?
Treehouse? Tree Sound, goddamn.
Street Execs.
Yeah, that, the studio that, Bankroll Fresh got killed at?
I think it was Street Execs or the Hood Ridge, wherever
it is. Hood Ridge, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but when you go to, like, if you a rapper that have the money to be able to go in those studios, you can actually pop because 2 Chainz might walk in that bitch, Tip might walk in that motherfucker, any of these niggas might walk in that motherfucker, and if they hear your beat and they like your beat, they gonna come jump on that motherfucker. You feel me? They be like, hey, nigga, you could take the bitch on the road and perform the bitch and make the money, but I own the rights to the, I'm gonna go ahead and pay you for the rights to the motherfucker, yeah, so I can own it.
Exactly.
But you can go on the road and, you know, get your money off tour dates with the shit if you want to. And that's all a nigga really be wanting, nigga. Shit, you just made me $40,000.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I always want to keep it real with people. People like, hey, how is it? So, financially, how hard is it to be, like, because everybody like, oh, I want to quit my job and follow my passion. How hard is it to really keep that stable?
I'm glad I started doing comedy when I did. You feel me? 19 years old when I had minimal responsibilities.
Big
feel
point.
Me?
Big
because
point.
It, but see the thing about comedy, like this is how I know I'm supposed to be doing comedy, because anything I ever need, and I'm not exaggerating, I'm not bullshitting. I'll tell you a couple stories in a second, but anything that I've ever been in need of, comedy has provided in a timely fashion. You feel me? Like, I'm going to give you 2 stories. I was on probation. I needed $1,000. The probation officer was like, listen, if you don't have $1,000 by next month, I'm going to go ahead and lock you up and we'll convert your time into the money or whatever. So I'm like, fuck. I ain't going to worry about it. The motherfucker, my partner called me. Hey, man, can you be in, I forgot where I was at. Can you come to Africa? But, you know, I got $1,100 for you. Bet I'm on the way. Get up there, do the show, get the $1,000, send that shit to him, keep me out of jail. That's one story. Second story, I was at the old Uptown Comedy Corner on Marietta Street, right? The girl that I was with, we needed $150 for the light bill. I had 50. Now I was thinking, I was like, okay, I got 50. Should I go and try to find a way to get up on $100, or should I take the 50, buy 50 DVDs, $1 a piece, buy 50 DVDs, go do a show, and hope I sell 15 DVDs to have the 150 and still have another 35 DVDs, which would be another 350 in money, you know what I mean, in product. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna buy the DVDs, right? Bought the DVDs, went did a show at Uptown, kicked them in the ass. And after the show, right, I'm out there selling DVDs. Comedy DVDs gonna get you one nickel, 40 quarters, 100 dimes, 10, you know what I mean, 20 nickels, 100 pennies, blah, 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 whatever, 1,000 pennies. So, you know, I'm out there selling for $10 a piece. A dude walk up to me and was like, hey, you got a DVD? I was like, yeah. He was like, how much you selling them for? I was like, $10. He was like, so, like, how many you got? I was like, shit, I got 50. He was like, yeah, man, I'm going to buy them all, man. I'm you know, you just give them out to people. So what I owe you? I was like, well, I got 50 of them, you know, and then $10 a piece. You know, 10 times 50 is 500 every day of the week, right? He was like, so I know that, but what I owe you? I was like, shit, I got 50. I'm selling $10 a piece. So, like, I think, I'm pretty sure that's 500. He was like, man, I heard what you said, but what I owe you? I was like, man, give me $200. And he skipped me off 10 dub and left.
Man, that
nigga that, gave I got my 150 and $50 to play around.
Yeah, you go get you something to eat.
I got some weed, man. I got everything I need. And ever since then, man, I'd be like, man, I'm not even gonna worry, man. And then the dude left. Like, I could have still been a shitty person and still been selling. You feel me? But I was like, no, universe ain't gonna look out for me like that. Nah, no. Shit, I'm no. Gave them bitches out. Gave them bitches out. Hell yeah. They was like, no, I don't have any money to buy them. I was like, no, somebody already bought them for you. Y'all go ahead.
Yeah.
They were like, are you serious? Are you serious? Yeah, yeah, man. Somebody bought these shit for me.
So joking on the crowd, like, how are they? Have you ever got somebody to be really mad at you, or like, how are? Because when I seen you, I think you said a joke, but it was like, it's a joke. It's not like I'm really trying to demean you or nothing like that.
Right.
It's like, I'm just fucking with you. So how is it?
When it comes to the crowd, delivery is everything. You feel me? Like, you can say anything to a person, but how you say it is where you're gonna get your reaction. Like, I can be on stage.
That's in life too.
Yeah, that's just in general. You feel me? Like, delivery is everything. So I've mastered the art of my delivery. You feel me? Like, you'll get a shitty response from the crowd if you look like you mad and you serious. But if you look like you just having fun talking shit, calling somebody ugly, or calling somebody fat, or saying somebody look like a breath stink, or whatever you're saying, long as you look like you having fun and it's comical to you, the crowd gonna ride with you. But the first time you be like, yeah, bitch, if you don't shut the fuck up, the fuck is wrong with your dumb ass?
Yeah.
Bitch, you retarded, bitch. I know you got too many crumbs on you, goofy hoe. Crowd gonna be like, God damn. Yeah, like,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah, something must be wrong, man. Let's just laugh so that he don't fuck with us and get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's all about delivery is everything, man. You know, I try not to, like, I feel like I'm funny enough to not have to talk about you. If you talking, it's because you either want to get my attention or you just want to be a part of the show. Because I feel like I'm the type. Like, my style of comedy is entertaining. Like, you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh. You're going to have fun. You're going to remember something I said. So, like, just do that, nigga. You don't got to be seen. You're scared to get up here, but you want everybody to see you.
Exactly.
I'm going to make you famous.
Yeah. And that's why what I knew you were a good comedian is that you use the mic, you use the crowd, you use everything. Because a simple, if you hit the mic a certain way, I remember you said something about somebody, something fell out his tooth and you made a noise.
Right.
It's working the mic, working the crowd. And then me and my wife, we love, like, natural comedy. Like,
I get that all the time.
This
people be like,
Your
jokes don't even seem like jokes. It just seems like you just talking to us.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, even like the super bads, the dry, it's like dry comedy, but it's funny. It's funny.
I love dry comedy.
They saying something random, like, oh, yeah, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Jump in front of his spit? Mm. It's like, this is hilarious, but it's like simple.
Mm.
It's not like they're trying too hard.
Because less is more, man. That's the thing about entertainment. Less is more. It's like, if you're doing a lot, your point is not going to get across. But I can just tell somebody, hey, watch your mouth, and keep going about my set. And the way I said, watch your mouth, let them know, okay, yeah, you're not joking.
Yeah, and just like Chris Tucker, like you said about delivery, his voice already is like, he's not threatening. If he's like, God damn, man, what you doing? You over here looking at me?
Like, you know, it's out of like, him for anybody.
It's like, God damn, your breath stink. It's like, oh, man, you
like, funny. These stupid niggas have a breath stink.
Man, right. You funny as hell. But, I mean, that's what it is. I think it. So, last thing, we get ready to wrap it up here. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, this dude is really funny. I want everybody to check him out. We're going to give you all the info before we leave. But for me, I've been joked on. Let me take my hat off. Mm-hmm. I've been joked on about my forehead.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest thing ever was a Mexican dude I work with. He said, yo, do you pay your barber full price? Because that fucking forehead is, you should pay half off. That was number one. When I was younger, they used to always say, I'm a crackhead. Because I got in a car accident, I got this scar. They're like, boy, you're a crackhead. But then when I got to middle school, they called me fucking Harry Potter. That shit was hilarious.
Right.
So I was like, and recently my nephews have called me Megamind from the movie.
Hilarious.
The blue one. So it was hilarious. Right. So the people know your style. I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb.
Mm.
If you see me in the crowd talking shit, heckling you, what I got on today, what I look like, what would you say?
I'll tell you, you got a little ass head, you probably look through a peephole with both eyes. I'd be like, that forehead big as hell, you could probably start a face on it. At least get the eyes and the nose on it. And I'd probably say, this nigga's a miscarriage. He a miscarriage that pulls through and raised himself. He's uglier than a motherfucker. He was like, fuck that, I'm going to the club tonight and raised himself.
Oh, man, I just appreciate it. Because it's just like, that's what I'm trying to get people, bro. this is what I've been living by lately. We don't know when our last second, minute,
life is too short, man.
Anything is, bro. Just live. Don't stress about that job. You know, give yourself a moment, because I'm not saying somebody just got shot and you should be like, oh well, fuck it, it's a great day. No, saying
we understand you're human.
Yeah, deal with it. But hold it in for a little bit and let's find a solution. Yeah, that's all we on.
See, me, I what I tell females that I deal with when they start questioning me about shit and, you know, all that shit, I be like, hey, they be like, you just act like you don't care. It's not that I don't care. It's just, I'd rather be happy. You feel me? Like, bitch, you just want to be mad. You're looking for shit. It's like, if you ever go through my phone, like any chick, if you ever go through my phone and you find something, I'm leaving. I'm not about to try to explain what it is. You went through my phone and you found something. If I stay with you, you're going to be accusing me of shit for the next 2 years. It's over.
When trust is gone, there's no point. It's literally, like, even when...
but like my old lady now, solid, fool. Bro, I'm talking, nigga, I was fucking with a chick. Me and the chick recorded ourselves, nigga. She set the fucking recording to my girl, nigga. My girl slapped shit out of me. Pow! I slapped shit out of her back. Pow! Nigga, she went upstairs.
I was playing Rock'em Sock'em, and it was over after that.
But I was about to leave her, though. You know, I was really thinking about leaving her. And, you know, this little motherfucker was fine as hell. And, you know, got caught up a little bit. I only seen her, it was in Kentucky. I did the comedy club for about a year. But I would only be up there for 1 or 2 days. And it was once a month. So it was like, I fucking probably seen her. Fucked her maybe 14 times.
Man, life is too short, man. Where can they find you before we get out of here?
Oh, man, you can find me on all social media engines, man, under Daryl Damn. On Snapchat, it's going to be DDamn8058. But everything else, Daryl Damn. DARRYL Damn. DAMN. Like Daryl Damn. I host Uptown Comedy Corner on Saturdays. That's 397 North Central Avenue, Hayville, Georgia. Then I host 707 Lounge on Fridays. And that's address 707 Highway 138, Riverdale, Georgia.
Man, thank you. And before we get out of here, I like to do this with all my guests. I narrowed down to 5 years. Speak it into existence in 5 years. Where will you be at? What will you be doing?
I'm hoping I'm not going to say hoping. I plan to have the money that because really all I want is about $7 million. If I get $7 million, I'm gonna move to the woods, build me a big old house, and live out there, grow my own weed, grow my own fruit, hunt, deal, you know, live my, you know, I mean, live self-sufficiently, and, you know, get solar panels and shit so that the sun can, you know, run my house or whatever.
Akon, shout out to Akon.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, my plan in the next five, because in 5 years, I'll be 44. So.
More life.
Yeah, for him. You know, that I should have about another 25 to do on Earth. You feel me?
Solid.
I want that last 25 to be, you know, a good 25, where I'm just riding dirt bikes and four-wheelers and, you know, having fun and enjoying life, man. Because I can't do it with my baby, so, with my mom. So, like, that's the only thing that kind of eat me up is that. When all the success start coming, she gonna see it, but I kind of wanted her to experience it with me. And that shit eat me up sometimes. I just try not to let it as much, but when it does, it definitely consumes me, man.
Yeah, and I just, you know, because you said that, I never know what to say to nobody, because I know, like, that's a sensitive subject, but before we get out of here, I just want to dedicate this podcast to everybody who lost, you know, their parents or their loved, their mom, like their parents, that, or whoever it was in your life that was really your rock, and you having problems dealing with it, you know you're not alone, and this is recorded.
All right.